Welcome to TSF Life, a podcast ministry of the Shepherd's Fellowship Church in Marion, Ohio. TSF Life is designed to bring you biblical teaching in a relational way that's easy to apply to your life. Let's join Pastor Tom Hypes as we dive into today's teaching.
Okay, you guys ready to dig in? Let's dig in. We've been in a series for a little while now. This is actually probably the last full day of the series. We're all going to wrap it up a little bit next week with Jesselyn here as well. But called Blunt, and it's covering the blunt statements of Jesus Christ and looking at them and see what they mean to our lives today, and then also comprehend whether or not Jesus might have been serious about that statement that he made to us when he gave us the command, which he was, and how that, you know, works for us. So we've gone through several so far. Today we're going to move into a new one that abbreviated, just ask, seek, knock. That's an abbreviate. We're going to look at the long version of it, just so it's easy to remember to start out as we're looking at ask, seek, knock. And we're going to do that in the scripture, of course. So if you would, let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. If you do not have a Bible, there's Bibles on underneath the chairs and the baskets around the room that you can keep or still. And then we also use an app called YouVersion, which is a national free app that you can download real quick. Our password here is fellowship on the Wi-Fi and all lowercase. And you can do a local search and you see TSF and today's date. Open that up. You have all the scriptures, place to leave prayer requests, place to take notes, those type of things. But we're going to dive in. It's a smaller section than what we've been doing, but nonetheless, it's still part of the larger. And the main thing I want to make sure that we get is the context. Because if you take this one out of context, and many, many people do, you try to make it say something that God never intended for it to be said, that Jesus never intended to be said, and gets quite selfish, to be honest with you. But this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, which Jesus is talking to multitudes, and he's preaching the longest sermon that we have record of his to the multitude, how it looks different now that Christ is fulfilled versus what the Jewish religion, the synagogue, had made religion to look like. And so he has talked to them about a multitude of things that we kind of have to bring to the table first so that we don't get selfish with what he's saying. So he's been talking about righteousness so far. He's been talking about sincerity. He's talked about humility. He's talked about purity. He's talked about love. So just like a sermon series here at church, they're meant to build on top of each other. That's one reason I do encourage people to be here as much as you can, because we're not like a one-off church. We're building on and building on and building on. Jesus does the same thing in the sermon. He is built upon, and now he's coming to this section, which is about prayer and also about lifestyle. So let me read just a couple of verses for you, and then we'll dig it apart here. But Jesus says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be open. Or which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, by the way, we are pretty messed up without Jesus. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Okay, so that's what we're going to be building most of our time on. And I really want to break it apart, because I think there's sections of this that we do well and other sections that we're pretty unaligned in. And mostly, I think that to do that, we need to just kind of strip it down to the basics and talk about the key components that we're talking about. So the first one we talk about is ask. So we'll put that up on you. And ask is communicating, right? Ask is your choice to talk to God about the things that's on your heart or the things that you're going through, the things that you hope to see. And according to the promise here in the collective, it will be given to you. Now, this is usually what we do best. We are really, really good at asking for stuff from God. People that are the most lukewarm of Christians are really, really good at asking stuff of God. People who are not Christians, many of them, because of the way they're raised, when things get tough, we say, well, I don't really believe in God, he doesn't want to have anything, but God, I need you to, you know, pull my butt out of this fire. You know, like we are good at asking. And so those who take it out of the context then will say, but Jesus has told me, if I ask, bing, it's going to happen. And God doesn't work that way. And I am very, very thankful that he doesn't. Because if God has given me everything I've ever asked for, I'd be a mess. Just a mess. It takes me back to like the old Garth Brooks song. Do you remember Unanswered Prayers, anybody?
Yeah.
Okay. He runs into an old girlfriend at like a high school reunion. He's like, thank God for unanswered prayers. I didn't end up with this one. That's basically what the song says, right? What's that? Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks. Yeah. Just a little indie, little guy. Not too many people saw that.
Well, I know, but I'm
no, Garth Brooks. Unanswered prayers. It's a really good song. It's a touching song. But the reality is God knows better than Tom does, and that's a good thing. And I remember when I was going through this, remind me, Andy Griffith show. If you don't remember Garth Brooks, you're not going to remember Andy Griffith. But oh, okay, there you go. So Cindy's on it. But there was a time, and maybe, see, I think I've seen something on Facebook about this particular episode too, where Opie's wanting something, and Opie's like a 7-year-old kid, and his dad, Andy, tells him no. And Opie gets upset and he, you know, leaves. So he's all bothered. And this is what happens when you have a pastor who's a hick. So the guy that was standing there said, well, why don't you just give it to him? If the boy wants it, the boy wants it. He can make his own decisions. And he said, no, sir, that's not right at all. Because my son does not have the life experience. My son does not have the knowledge that I have. He just knows what he wants right in front of him. And this is not best for him. And it's my job to make those determinations as I teach him, to be able to make his decisions as he grows older. Now, again, I'm a big proponent. We should give our kids things to make decisions over that are safe. But whether or not, you know, they start driving at the age of 7 is not in their wheelhouse. That's mine, right? And so the same thing with God. He's a very caring God, lovable God, knows the future, knows more about whatever I'm going through than I do, knows my heart better than I do. So I really need to be praying within his will. I need to be able to be praying within in that purpose, which is what the other two steps are, which we'll talk about. But so James 4:3 comes in as kind of the balance to this not being taken out of context, where James is saying, look, you're not getting because you don't ask God. And if you're asking God, sometimes you're asking with the wrong motives, and that's why you're not getting it. God knows better than I do. And I'm very, very thankful that I've got a loving Father who takes care of me and helps me in those ways. Looking back, the times that he said no has made my life so much better than if he said yes. So that's why I'm not going to spend a ton of time. I think we kind of get that. Again, you probably were asking for things from me more today, just like I have been. But I want to bring in the other sections as well. So building on that, we go to seek. And seek is when you're choosing to consider. And this is the part that too many people skip over. They just ask and want. When we're seeking and we're considering, what are we seeking? Well, in this sermon that he is just giving, as he's building upon points, in the chapter before, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. There's two things. Yes, we're going to be seeking for those answers, how God answers our prayers. But the first thing that we're seeking is the kingdom of God. Now, if you've not been around here a lot, kingdom of God, yes, that is heaven. Someday, if you've accepted Jesus as leader and forgiven your life, by acknowledging with your mouth he's the Son of God, believing in your heart he died and rose again, and you're following him, that someday I'm going to be in heaven, and I'm going to see my mom again, I'm going to see people I love again. Most importantly, I'm going to see Jesus face to face without any kind of filter in any way, shape, or form. But kingdom of God is also kingdom of God living here. As Mike was praying earlier with the Lord's Prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May the kingdom of God be what I'm living here as best as I can while I live in this cesspool, while I'm a citizen in a different land. May I be experiencing the kingdom of God here. So I want to seek God's understanding. I want to seek God's ways. I want to build on the other things from the Sermon on the Mount so that as I seek and I will find the will and the righteousness of God and how he thinks, now my asking is going to be different because I'm going to start naturally shaping and discipling to grow to be more like Jesus. I want Jesus' will to be in my life, or God's will to be done in my life. So my asks, they're going to be different. They're going to be different. Again, we've talked about with asks, when we're praying, that at the end of prayers, usually most people will take and pray in Jesus' name, amen. Most of us pray that because we've been taught since little kids. That's just what you say at the end of a prayer. But in Jesus' name means according to your will, and amen, so shall it be. So here's all my requests, but according to your will, so shall it be, right? That's the beginning steps of seeking. That's the beginning of starting to understand his heart a little bit better, to be able to be asking within his will. And I'm telling you, if you're praying and it just doesn't feel like God's anywhere near you, and you start to realize, wait, I don't know if I really seeked His will on this, or been in the Word, or been in Christian community, or been getting encouragement to His understanding of things, that I need to do that, because I'm not hearing what I thought I was going to hear. But I'm telling you, when you pray within God's will, you're going to hear stuff that you've never even imagined is possible. Every possible. One example I'll give you, it's not on there, but if you want to write it down, it's in Mark chapter 1. This is an example I bring up often because I love it. And it's usually when we're talking about how do I know what God's will is. Like if you're seeking God's will on something, like a job change, or if you think about entering into a relationship or whatever the case may be. I always go to Mark chapter 1 because Jesus is a great example of this. The short version of it is, Jesus has just been teaching in the synagogue. Those who have been around, you'll remember this. He's been teaching in the synagogue, and it's going great, and people are marveling at His teaching. And then a guy who's demon-possessed starts crying out, and Jesus casts out the demon. And so then that distraction's gone, and people are like, holy cow, this guy can teach, and this guy can cast out demons. And then he immediately leaves after that because they start to focus on the demon-freeing aspect and what can you do for me, Jesus, aspect. And he goes to Peter's house, right? You guys still with me? Peter's mother-in-law is sick, he heals her, word gets out. Next thing you know, by that night, according to the scripture, the entire city was at the front door of Peter, trying to get to Jesus. No longer talking about His teaching, but they wanted demons cast out and they wanted healings. In other words, they wanted a Christianity that was about, what can you do for me? And so what we find is some early day apostles who are thrilled to death that they just built the biggest church in the shortest amount of time of all time, in their hometown, and they signed on to the right guy. And they're ready for day two. Jesus does something very, very different. So, and let me talk about it. I'm going to do it with the emotions, because we've always done it like a first step. Hey, look, He can stand. The first step that we see in Jesus is, and I think goes along with this, is He sees the thoughts of the apostles. He sees the thoughts of the town. And I do believe that Jesus is excited because Jesus loves people. And he loves bringing freedom to people's lives. But then He does something, the second step, completely different. It says, the next morning, while everybody else was asleep, Jesus got up and prayed. He went out into the wilderness, and He said, but Daddy, what do you think? Okay, I've got this advice. I've got what people who are well-meaning have said to me. I've got my thoughts. I'm just going to put that on the altar. Now, what do you think, Daddy? And that's a step that a lot of us miss. And this is the seeking aspect of it. And so when He was done with that, and He came back, and the apostles were like, dude, we've been looking for you. Let's go. Right? What are we doing next? And He says, you know what? We're just going to leave it behind. We're just going to walk away. We're going to go to other cities so I can teach, because that's why I'm here. In other words, when He's talking to Daddy, Daddy said, don't forget, you're here to spread the gospel message. You're here to change life. You're here to disciple. And He said, I can't do that here anymore. And then it says that Jesus went from there teaching and still casting out demons and healing because He loves people. I mean, it was just so second nature to Him. But He got that perspective because He saw it. So the asking became quite different. Okay, so the next one we'll add into that is knock. Knock is a commitment. Knock is when you really start to put some persistence to it. Knock is when you start to put some faith into it. You've prayed about it. You're seeking things from God's standpoint. Now you're going to start going forward to be able to knock and open the doors that God is opening for you. And know which ones not to open. Because here's another thing that we do a little bit too simply, some of us have Christianity that's based on circumstances. That, well, if it seems like it's going this way, that must be God. That job change, I'll make more money, so that must be God. Or this relationship. Satan knows how to open doors too. He will offer you, if you're doing something really good in your job for the kingdom of God, or something's coming up to King God and Satan sees that, he's more than happy to give you another dollar an hour. He really is, to get you someplace else. And then you go there and you're there for 3 months, and then they take and decide to do layoffs and you have a job and now you're financially stressed and Satan's laughing. So we have to be able to say, okay, which ones are God, which ones Satan, which ones are just me because I'm just wanting what I want, and then go through the ones that God's opening. It says that we can know which ones are God's once we ask, once we seek. Now we can start going and seeing what is God and what is not in this world. What is the world and what is God in this world? That's a huge part of it. If you start putting these three together, I'm telling you, your prayer life and your life is completely different, because that's when the promises start coming into place. I put up there a reference, Luke 2:22-36. This is about Simeon. I love Simeon. I don't mean to get all Christmassy on you. A friend of mine bought me this. I think I'm supposed to be anonymous, but I knew who it was. And because I love Simeon so much, Simeon comes into play, not really at the same time as Jesus' birth. He's not at the nativity or anything like that, like the wise men were. But he comes in a few days later when Jesus is brought into the temple to be dedicated. Thank you. No one who knew what I was talking about. But in his life, and this is the guy that came to mind to me. I'm going to go over to Luke chapter 2 myself and read. It's up to you if you want to. Not that I have that much control anyways, but I'll read it to you as well. But I love this guy. So I'll just read it. 22, and when the time came for the purification according to the law of Moses, they, being Mary and Joseph, brought him, Jesus, up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Those are some awesome statements. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said at them. And Simeon blessed them and said to his Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will also pierce through your own soul, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Now, this is beyond the scope of it, but this lady is too cool not to read. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of that guy, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin. And then as a widow, until she was 84, she did not depart from the temple, worshiping and fasting and prayer night and day. So she's doing this, let's see, 84. She's doing this about 70 years. She never left the temple, fasting and praying. For coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting in the redemption of Jerusalem. Just on Simeon alone, years of holding on to a promise of the Holy Spirit that he would see the Messiah that had been talked about for hundreds of years, generations before his time. And he felt the Holy Spirit giving that promise. Now, that's different than a feeling. I feel there's a pretty good shot that I might see the rapture in my time. I could see that. God's not promised me that. So if I get to check out what happens when the horn's blowing upstairs, that'd be cool. If not, and I get it from the balcony seats, that's great too. You know, that's not something that I'm based on, so on a commitment that the Holy Spirit has promised me this. Simeon, you will not die until you see the salvation of Israel, tangibly, in your hands. And he had been praying and so focused on it. He's been asking and seeking and knocking on this for a very long time. And then suddenly, you remember the power suddenly? Just God, just suddenly, Holy Spirit says, you need to go in the temple today. Okay. Follow those little promptings, I'm telling you. Follow. If he misread it, and he had a bad burrito from Taco Bell the day before, and he was completely off base, he had a nice little walk in the temple, right? But he walks in, and the Holy Spirit says, no, I've got something special for you today. That baby is my baby. That is your salvation. Those moments are so worth it to be able to bring all of these three together, to be able to have that kind of lifestyle. We'll go to the next slide, Lisa. Just kind of looking at the three together. Asking is a verbal. That's something that you are choosing, again, to bring, that he's inviting you to bring. Seeking is mindfulness. You're choosing to be mindful of the ways of God. And knock is the action. And putting those things together. And when you bring that kind of expectation, it takes things up greatly. We had our prayer night Friday night, a church prayer night. And again, I've just always been honest about this stuff. I wish it was better intended. I really do. I think the more that we understand prayer and the power of prayer, the more that we're going to come together as collective to pray over each other and to lift each other up to God. But at the same standpoint, I can tell you, and I've not talked to most of the people there that was there that night, but personally, there was two different circumstances that I'm diehard convinced God planned that night at that date for that purpose, for that person. 100%. 100%. One person who hardly walks in here all that much anymore, who saw it online the day of, that had a massive decision the next day, that said, I had plans tonight, but God said I needed to be here. And we talked and we prayed, and I just love how God does that. Another person came in late that was, again, it's an open house, but like towards the end, they were at home and they were going through a lot of mental struggles that were going on, and they tend to like to just be hide in bed. That's part of their depression. It's part of their anxiety. And for the strength for that person to get up and get in their car and come here to pray and be prayed over, it's someone I love, so I was very proud of them. And I was very honored to be part of that. When we understand how prayer is supposed to be working, you can't ignore it. You just can't ignore it. There is time for that. There is a mindfulness for that. And there's a chasing after that. That I hope we see. Sometimes people ask, why doesn't God just do what he knows what is best or whatnot? There is a thing that's passive grace. There are a lot of things that God does for us. Like, well, for instance, not taking away my ability to breathe in the moment is a nice one that I don't have to ask about. But there's multiple ways, reasons, beautiful reasons on why we have this in place. One, it grows me. It grows me. It shapes me. I grow to be more like Christ through this process and more of his understanding. And secondly, it's just because we're fickle. We're just fickle people. I really believe that some of the best things in our lives, if you didn't pray for it beforehand, you just go, oh, that's a really cool coincidence. Well, I guess the universe thought I deserved that today. But when we're praying to God and know we need God, and we shape ourselves to be like God, then we start seeing God move in new ways. That's a good father. He's not going to give you... Look, think about like with the child, with like the child needs bread and you would you give him a rock? That child knows it has a need, knows it needs to ask for it from its father, right? So it goes over to the father's house and knocks on the door and says, I need bread. And the good father is going to give them bread, right? In all honesty, a lot of people will give them a rock in the form of verbiage. You need to pull yourself up by your own pants. You need to go get your own job. I'm not here. I had you until you were 18. You're 36, man. Go figure out a way to go get $5 and get your family some bread. That's giving them a rock. So if you ever wonder about, like, if I come and I ask, is he going to give me a serpent? And am I going to get bit? Is there going to be venom? Is there going to be... No, your daddy loves you. He's just fighting you into a dance with him that changes everything. Does that make sense? Thank God he's more like Andy Taylor. So one other thing I want to give you, and it's up to you if you want to in there. You don't need to keep your place in Matthew. But Revelation 3 came up to me. And I don't know, it was probably about 7 or 8 months ago. I did a sermon on bad churches. And on that, we talked about 5 categories of churches that we see that I believe Jesus has concerns about and is calling to repentance, if not possibly a spanking. And then compared that, and I've been talking about those for a long time, compared those to the 7 churches who got the 7 letters that Jesus dictated out in Revelation in the future. 7 real churches of the time, also I believe represent different stages of the church age in order. The last one came back to mind. So Church of Laodicea. And I do believe that's the church age we're in, which is lukewarmness. And it came back to mind because it's another area where it's talking about knocking on a door. But instead of Christ inviting us to knock on a door, he's inviting us to open the door he's knocking on. And so when we've gone through that, and it's 14 through, where am I at, 22 through the rest of it, where he's basically saying to them, look, you really think you have it all together. And you think you're paying the bills, and you've got the American dream, you've got all these things in place, but you really are blind, you're pitiful, you're struggling because you're lukewarm. And I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I just find that disgusting. I just want to spit out of my mouth. One, because he's just God. Two, he doesn't want lukewarmness in your life. Okay? And so he says, I encourage you to take my riches, my gold, that never perish. I encourage you to put salve on your eyes that will take away that blindness so that you can see your need and you can see the beauty of God that's in front of you. I encourage you to take the right garments that don't have spots of sin and regret and guilt and all this other junk that I never made for you to carry. I encourage you to take my white clothing through the forgiveness of your sins, through my blood, so that you can be spot free. And then he says, behold, I, Jesus, stand at the door of you and knock. And whoever answers it, I'm going to come in and we're going to feast and we're going to fiesta. That's Tom's version of what he says. Okay? And it is, again, the other side of what he's saying here. He wants us to ask, seek, and knock. But he's asking us and seeking us and knocking on our door to do so, so that we can have this richness in our life and not be lukewarm. I remember growing up, I grew up in American Baptist churches, and we had a picture of this scene. Some of you guys probably seen it. It's very classic looking, looks like it's from the 40s, probably was from the 40s, and Jesus standing at the door knocking, and you might have heard this. This has been probably overly talked about, but no, probably not. But there's no doorknob on the outside where Jesus is knocking. Have you heard that part before? That the doorknob's on the inside. So Jesus, because he's given us free will not open that door. But we can open the door. And when we come in and we get into this exchange, everything changes. We take on our Father. He takes on us. And then we see real change in our lives. And we'll be able to see things start moving in new ways. We can test and know what the good will of God is. Moving from lukewarm to this bad boy would change everything. But all three are a choice. All three are a choice.
If you were blessed by today's teaching, we hope you return for our next podcast. Or, better yet, stop by the Shepherd's Fellowship any Sunday morning to join us live. You can learn more about the church by calling 740-382-3500. Or check us out online by going to tsflife.com. That's tsflife.com. You can also support the ministry of TSF Life by donating at our church website or sending support to the Shepherd's Fellowship, 1647 Marion, Marysville Road, Marion, Ohio, 43302. Thank you for spending your time with us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon. Be blessed.